Okay, let's go.
My love, Olonufe me. I love you. I just want to thank God for when you shared the gospel with me when I was 14 years old. I want to thank God for you over the years. My late husband and I loved you so much. And every time you came to our home, we would ask you hard questions. You would sit down and teach us. And I was minding my business, working for the Lord and going to minister in Jos and teaching Capro missionaries, and then went over to Mina with them to go and teach another set of Capro missionaries when the Lord brought us together again. I want to thank the Lord for you. I love you very, very dearly. I thank God for your children. It was my daughter who first had a word. She said, Mom, thus says the Lord, He's going to give you a new husband. And I found it hard to take. Another sister came and said the same thing. I wish I had been like Mary and said, oh, let it be, Lord, according to your word. I was busy thinking, after 38 beautiful years, I want to start loving another man. With the person's family love me, Lord. And then the Lord showed you to me, didn't show me your face. And then the Lord brought me into frustration. So much so, I said, okay, Lord, if you want me to get married, I surrender. Let your will be done. And then 10 days or so later, or less than that, you started texting. So here I am. And since then, I've been so happy. I said, Lord, in fact, if you notice my dancing, last dance, for the month of April, May, June, I've been dancing, one kind of dance, that, Lord, you brought my friend. You brought my friend and the family I love.
Wow.
And I just realized that, Lord, you really had me in mind. So I'm back on the mission field with him. I'm so glad that I love you, honey. And I want to sing a song. It's so straightforward that it says, hold somebody, tell him that you love him. I love you, Michael Adeniyi Onimole.
Did you enjoy that video? Hallelujah. Did you enjoy the video? Amazing, amazing, amazing. It's important we played that video because it's going to have to do what we're discussing today. So please, hope you took note of all the high points of that video. So welcome to the month of February. Before I start, last Wednesday was my birthday. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to appreciate everybody that sent me messages and people that asked for my account number. And all those things. I want to appreciate all of you. Thank you, guys. We felt the love and all the wishes. Thank you very, very much. All right. So, as we said, and by the way, how many people enjoyed Nathan Ebasi? Hallelujah. It was awesome. If you missed midweek service this week, you missed. Hallelujah. You missed. And we had, for those on the mainland, we had the worship service at our new site. It was phenomenal, totally phenomenal. It's not the kind of thing we can use words to describe. All right, but let's get to today's message. Okay, so this month of February, we're starting a new series titled Bullseye. Bullseye. Bullseye is simply talking about the kind of goals we need to have for this year and how to actually go along to meet those goals, how to reach, you know, those goals. Hallelujah. All right. And we'll be looking at different kinds of goals we should have this year. Different kind of goals to have and how to meet those goals. So we'll do this both Sundays and Wednesdays. So any of the goals we discuss on Sunday and in the midweek service, we'll also go further to show how to reach those goals. Now listen, there's I don't know anything as sweet as actually reaching your goals. I don't know anything as sweet as setting a goal and actually reaching it. Many people at the beginning of the year like this, they have what they call New Year resolutions. They do New Year resolutions. And that's not, most times they don't keep it. But when you actually strategically set goals, especially by divine inspiration, you set goals and you put practical steps into realizing those goals. I'm telling you, your year will be fulfilled. It will be happy. I'm telling you, every time I meet any of my goals, it's actually, it's one of the sweetest feelings in the world. And last year was very good for me because a lot of my goal, I met a lot of my goals. I reached a lot of my goals. Now, I didn't reach all of my goals, but I reached a lot of them. And you see, when it comes to goal setting, even if you don't reach all of them, if you reach a substantial amount, there's still that spirit of feeling of fulfillment that comes with it. I'm telling you, there's nothing as sweet as that. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, DJ, give me this scripture. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. It says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. It says, but when the desire cometh, it is what? A tree of life. That means when you meet your... Can you give me a more contemporary version? So they're trying to show you the difference between, expectations that are not met and expectations that are met. It's actually, look at this one. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Give me another one, a more contemporary version. Give me like a message or something. Okay, good. It says, unrelenting disappointment leaves you heart sick, but a sudden good break can turn your life around. The point is just that, hey, when if you set goals and you don't meet them, it can actually break your heart. Especially when it goes on year after year after year. But when you set goals and you meet them, there's a fulfillment that comes with it. And my prayer for you is that this year, 2020, you will reach all your goals in the name of Jesus. This is the year where those goals will no longer be things that just look far away. This year, you will touch with your hands all your goals in the name of Jesus. Your expectations shall come to pass in the name of Jesus. Trust me, I've been there. I know the joy that comes when you reach your goals. I know the joy that comes. It's difficult to even express it in words. The joy that comes when you actually reach your goals, whether it's financial goals, relationship goals, career goals, any goals you set, there is just that thing about reaching them. And we're going to look at those things today. So let's go straight. Today, the first day, we're going to talk about spiritual goals. We're going to talk about what? Spiritual goals. Hallelujah. Come on, say with me, spiritual goals. Very important. Very important. Why is it important that we start with spiritual goals? Very simple. Because the spiritual is the foundation for the physical. The spiritual is the what? Foundation for the physical. So the other goals we are going to be mentioning throughout this month, they all are resting on your ability to reach your spiritual goals. And at the end of the day, really, most of your natural goals will fade away. The thing that will last forever is actually your spiritual goals. And that is why I actually want you to reach your spiritual goals. So you must start from the spiritual. It affects everything. Just like the video we watched. Did you notice? You see, and this is what I've been trying to spend my whole life, teaching people. I wish people can get this. This is what I'm trying to spend my whole life teaching people. And I wish you can get this. That the spiritual, once the spiritual is in place, nothing can stop the rest of the goals of your life. Once the spiritual is in place, all your goals are achievable. No matter how big they are, no matter how scary they are, no matter how fearful they are all achievable once the spiritual is in place. Once the spiritual is in place. Look at that video that we watched. That woman was a grandma. She's literally a grandma. I don't know how old she is, but she's a grandma. And God is still hooking her up. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? I was blown out of my... God is still hooking up a grandma. She's finding love. Not manage me love, like many people are doing today. Not manage me love that will last 1 year. She was saying, God gave me my friend. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? If grandma is finding love, I say, you young girl, you still can't find love. Go and check the foundation right. If the spiritual is okay, there's nothing God can't do. If the spiritual is in place. Just look at her story. She wasn't even looking for a husband. She wasn't even looking for a man. She was just looking for God. And just like the Bible says in Matthew 6, it said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what they say will happen? I can't hear you. What they say will happen? All other things shall be added. We don't chase things. We chase God, and things chase us. Hallelujah. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? We don't chase things. Every time man runs away or ignores God and tries to get things, all your goals are many. In how many ways are you going to separate yourself to reach all your goals? So you notice when men do it without God, they get some, they lose some, they win some. So you get married, then your career is bad. You get money, then your family is down. You get health, then you lose this one. You get this one, you lose your health. That's because men are trying to gather life in their own power. But when you do it by God, when you put God in the right place, he said the things will be added. They will be added to you. You won't hustle for it. Oh man, this woman's story, this video we just watched, I watched it over and over and over again. I couldn't get over it. This is what I'm trying to tell people all the time. Just lay this right spiritual foundation. All the other things shall be added. She wasn't even praying for a husband. She wasn't. And God didn't just give her any husband. Now, on that thing I need you to note. She said that man led her to Christ many years ago. Do you understand what I'm saying? That man would never have known that she was leading her future wife to Christ. He was just preaching the gospel for preaching's sake. Some of you now, they're trying to train you how to serve in church, how to learn how to do evangelism, how to be a good Christian. You are just thinking about what you will gain. Sometimes, when you are serving God without thinking, you're on a path. I said that last week. Every Christian has a path. If you follow your path right, all the things you will ever need, even some that you don't know you will need, they're already on that path. They are waiting for you when you will need them. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? That's what makes our kingdom unique. When you follow your path, everything is there. You won't even know now. Some people you are meeting today that you are treating badly, you will need them in your future. That's why God says walk in love, walk in forgiveness, walk in others. When you do those things, some of them are going to be useful to you later in life, not today. But you don't treat them nice because they don't look it. He doesn't have a car. He doesn't have money. Hallelujah. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? That man preached to that lady when she was a child. And today, he's reaping from it, even though that was not his intention. Oh, glory to God. I'm praying for you that this year, your goals will come to pass. You will reach your goals in the name of Jesus. You will hit the bullseye in the name of Jesus. The bullseye is the smallest part of that target. You know that target sign? The bullseye is the smallest. It's the smallest and it's the most difficult to hit. But this year, no matter how difficult those goals are, you will hit it in the name of Jesus. And you will experience that joy. Did you see that woman's joy? You see, for a Christian, the joy is not what God gave us. It's the fact that God has our time. God has me in mind. That's what gives us the real joy. Not the thing he gives us. He can give us things that an unbeliever can buy. But if an unbeliever can get that miracle and not be this happy, because they got it by their strength. When you get it by God, there's a blessing that comes. There's a joy. He said, ask and you shall receive, and your joy shall be full. Unbelievers don't have this, that one. Their hustle gets them the thing, so they never are as happy. That's why they can still die in depression. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Yeah, the scripture is there. He said, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. He said, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Your joy is not full because of the thing he gave you. Your joy is full because God actually answered you. There's a joy that comes with it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory to God. Alright, so the spiritual is actually the foundation. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first. Seek ye first. What number should we seek God? First. Seek ye what? First. That's why we are in this series, we are also doing it first. Spiritual goals. Do it first. And every other thing shall be what? Added. What kind of spiritual goals should I have? What kind of spiritual goals should I have? What kind of spiritual goals? How do I set my spiritual goals? Very simple. The spiritual goals you have should cover at least three things. All right? It could be more. I'm just trying to, because of time, this Sunday, by the midweek, we'll also get into it better. Your spiritual goals should cover at least three things. At least three things. Number one, to know God better. Take note of that, please. Number one is what? To know God better. That's your first spiritual goal. Not to know a church, not to know a pastor, not to know a million and one scripture for argument. It's to know, not to know choir master or choir mistress. Because some people join church because they're looking for husband and wife. He says, to know God better. That should be your spiritual goal. So this year, 2020, are you going to move in your knowledge of God? Because we can never finish knowing God. That's what happens. We never finish knowing God. So what happens is that every year, we grow in our knowledge of Him. We grow in our knowledge of Him. You can never finish knowing Him. It's just like the way when you have a friend or somebody you're married to. Every year, you kind of know them better. If you guys are spending time, you know, with each other, you kind of know them better. Praise God. You know them better. The truth is, I've been married for a few years now. I know my wife better now. There are many things I didn't even take note of the first few years we were together. But as the years are going on, I'm seeing different aspects of her. Different aspects. Some good, some naughty. Hallelujah. When we do relationship goals, I'll tell you something. If you bribe me. Glory to God. So I'm getting to know her better. And that's how it is with God. You can never finish knowing God. You can never finish knowing God. Nobody can finish knowing God. We don't graduate in the school of the Spirit. That's why you can never stop going to church. You can never stop, you know, doing the things we do. You can't say, I've been born again for 30-something years. Now, I think I've seen it. No, no, no. Apostle Paul, that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, his prayer in Philippians 3 was that I may know him. Paul, if you read about Paul, he had many visions. He had many times he went into the second and third heavens. This guy had revelations. This guy knew things about God that nobody else knew. For him to be assigned to write most of the New Testament, he had revelation of grace. He had revelation of faith. He had revelation of prayer. He's the one that said, I pray in tongues more than you all. He had revelation of spiritual gifts. He's the one that taught about spiritual gifts in the Bible. He taught spiritual gifts. He taught a ministry gift. I mean, this guy had revelation. But he still said that I may know him. He said, not holding on to the things that are behind. Pressing forward to the things that are in front. He said, I don't take it that I've comprehended. I don't assume that I've already gotten it. I seek it pressing to the mark of the high calling. I mean, how much have you known God that you're already tired? What have you known of God? How well can you hear God? Have you reached the state where God is leading you, where God is guiding you? And this is where you must get to. This is where you must get to. In the video that we watched, you saw that those who were growing their love and knowledge of God. That's where you must get to. I mean, how can you be a Christian? People are saying, God told me, God told me, God. And you have never had God. And it doesn't bother you. But you're still watching series. You know movie stars that don't know you. Hallelujah. Hey, human beings can be so funny. I want to say something, but I won't say it. Human beings can be so funny. We see, let me not say it because I know some people that are basketball fans might get angry. But we know too many people who don't know the person we should know. We don't know the person we should know. Know that I may know him. He is the most important person. You need to know him. Do you know him better? Do you know him better? Hallelujah. So how much of divine direction now do you get? How much of his will for your life do you know? How much of his will for mankind do you know? I mean, has God started even speaking to you about other things that don't concern you? That's how to know you are started growing. You guys have passed bread and butter. He's even talking to you about other global plans. See what he said about Abraham. He said, how can I do this thing without telling my friend Abraham? It didn't concern Abraham. God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But he said it's not right for him to do such a thing without telling Abraham. There are people on this earth that God doesn't do things without telling them. Even when it doesn't concern them. God will tell them, look, I'm planning a revival in some place. It doesn't even concern the guy. But God said, he's my friend. I can't just do something without telling him. There are people that before things happen in other people's life, God is just telling them, that I want to bless that boy. That this boy is struggling with so-and-so thing. He's not even telling you to do anything. He's just sharing with you because he sees you as a friend. That's what God said about Abraham. He said, how can I do this thing? Talking about going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, how can I do this thing without telling my friend Abraham? All right, so number one, getting to know God better for yourself. For yourself. Not that you're still tossed by every wind of doctrine. Any new Instagram or preacher that you see, anybody that doesn't have a church, doesn't have a spiritual prayer, doesn't have a spiritual root, just sharing scripture the way they like, you follow. You don't know God for yourself. You don't know God for yourself. You have no witness in your own spirit. God has never led you. But when I was a new Christian, that was one of the things I wanted to be hearing God. And you see, that ability to hear God has saved my life too many times. It's the reason I'm even where I am today. All the times you have made any move in ministry and even in my life is hearing God. You want to marry, so who's going to help? Who's going to tell you whether to marry John or Jonathan? People ask me that all the time. Pastor, there are two men chasing me. John, Jonathan. Which one should I marry? I say, I don't know. I can't know. I don't even know you. You can't remain John and Jonathan. You need to know God. There's no shortcut. So, number one spiritual goal you must set is knowing God better for yourself. Number two, living better. So, number one, knowing better. Number two is what? Living better. That means living a Christ-like life. In number one, Paul also said, I'm praying for you that God will grant you spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Okay? That's in Ephesians chapter 1. God was saying, and Paul was saying, he's praying for his converts that God will grant them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. So number two, living better. Living a Christ-like life. That's the second thing that must be a spiritual goal. Is your life the type that reflects Christ? When people see you, do they know that you are a Christian? Do you know, many people in churches are not Christians. Don't tell anybody. Oh, don't tell anybody between me and you. Eh? Large number. Majority, in short. I can use the word majority. Majority of people in churches, and I've been a pastor for 20-something years, I can tell you for free that majority of people in churches are not Christians. They are churchgoers. Great churchgoers. We have great churchgoers in Nigeria. Great ones. Not yet Christians. Not yet Christians. Not yet Christians. Great churchgoers, not Christians. Do you know the first time they call people Christian in the Bible, it wasn't the people that introduced themselves as Christians. It was people that were watching them, that saw that they were behaving like Christ, and said, these people are Christians. Christian is Christian. It's somebody that behaving like Christ. So your next goal must be to live better. To live a life that reflects Christ. A life that what? Reflects Christ. Do your friends know you are a Christian without your saying it? Do they know there's something unique about you without your mentioning it? Your classmates, you know, your colleagues in the office, when they have a real spiritual issue or question, is it you they ask? Do they know you are a Christian, or do you do deals with them? Do you tell lies with them? Are you in the bar drinking with them? You are even the one that knows what they should mix. Bartender, churchgoer. Many people in churches are not Christians. And nowadays, it's become so bad, everybody lays claim on God. So you can't even tell who is not true. And thank God for Instagram. You can check their page, and you can tell if they are really Christians. You know those people? Their profile will be Jesus Chaser, Holy Ghost Girl. Different spiritual lingo. Only when you start looking at their picture, you'll be confused. The profile name and the pictures don't match. You will think it's a mistake. Everywhere, I hope. They will say, when I look back at the goodness of God. You understand? This is the back they're looking. When I look, I wonder, what's the link between this, your bum bum, and the quote? Living right. Hallelujah. Living better. So number one, knowing better. Number two, living better. Your life now has to start being like that of Christ. They have to see you and see Christ. So you start shedding off lifestyles that don't glorify God. Lifestyles that you know that can't glorify God. You can't be still be living with your fiancé. Your both of you live together. All those your neighbors, you can never preach to them again. You can never invite them to church. You can't even be a Christian again. Living better. Number three, you have to move. I've never entered the message. Number three, serving better. Okay, serving better. So number one, knowing better. Number two, living better. Number three, serving better. Number three has to do with you serving God. You being somebody that draws people to God, that gives to God, that serves God. Okay? So this has to do with your life now attracting people to Christ. You become a lifestyle evangelist. So you are not, don't necessarily do crusade, but you understand that for everybody God connects you with, you need to point them to the Savior. You live your life in that kind of way that you are attracting people. You are now involved in kingdom service. You are now involved in giving. You understand giving. You understand that, hey, I'm not taking this money anywhere. Somebody will spend this money. I better use it for the kingdom agenda. I better be willing to give. At this level, you can't still be arguing about tithing. You understand that even if they cancel tithing, we will still be giving more than that tithe. We have passed that stage long ago because we understand. Go and check everybody that Jesus really touched. They were all willing to give and to serve. Go and check all people that he preached. Woman by the well. The moment Jesus ministered to her, Jesus didn't send her. The Bible says she went to the village to go and evangelize all the men and people she knew. Nobody told her. She went. Whenever people had a real encounter with God, a real one, they will go and work for God. That's what happened. They will go out, they will give to God. Every time. Zacchaeus, same thing. When he met Jesus, his owner said, I will return everything I've stolen. Peter met Jesus. He became fishers of men. He dropped the whole fishing business. When people really had a change of heart, they were willing to give. Financially, service, time, everything. Okay. Let me move. So those should be your spiritual goals. Your spiritual goals should be around those things. It can be more, but usually around these three things. Okay. Let me move forward. How do we measure spiritual growth in our personal life? We'll look at what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus. He said, I must decrease and he must increase. One of the ways you know you've started to grow is that the I reduces and the he increases. Look at it here, John 3:30, one of my best scriptures. He said, he must increase, but I must what? Decrease. He must increase, I must decrease. So the more I reduces in your sentences and in your thinking, and God is exalted in your sentences and your thinking, that's how to know you're on the right path spiritually. I reduces, he increases. So there is less and less what I know, what I hear, what I fear, what I feel. When you see Christian, you say, this is what I feel. The I is still too much. The more you walk with God, the I reduces, the he increases. In every area, what I see, what I feel, what I think reduces. Even in your faith, somebody told me during this week, that somebody said so and so, and asked them, what did God say? Thank God for what they said, but what did God say? That's how to know. You know you're actually becoming spiritual when spiritual reality is now more real to you than physical reality. Spiritual reality becomes more, spiritual things become more important. Become more important. So people don't have time. I mean, their natural life is so full. No time for God. Always at work. Always hanging out with friends. You're always making excuses why you don't have time for God. Then spiritual things are not yet real to you. And they are not yet important to you. You don't yet understand how important they are. He must increase. And I must what? Decrease. That's what happened to Peter. When he was walking on water, he removed his eyes from Jesus, focused it on the water and the storm. He began to sink. The more you walk with God, the more you walk with God. See, things like walking in faith, walking in love, your behavior, how you forgive, how you love other people that are not naturally lovable, things like walking in holiness, all of them are on their own an offshoot of your walking with God. When you start to walk with God, when you start to walk with God, all those things are just an offshoot. So you don't have to even focus on saying, I want to stop drinking, I want to stop smoking, I want to stop womanizing. That's not the first focus. The first focus is that I want to walk with God. If you can start walking with God, you will naturally stop those things. You see, he will increase and the I inside you will decrease. If you're actually spending time in prayer, if you actually spend time in the Word and other things you're supposed to do, you'll find that not gradually and gradually, you will stop having time and appetite for those kind of things. It will just fade. It will fade. Gossip will start dying. Because if that mouth is praying in tongues, that mouth will find it hard to gossip. That mouth is gossiping well now because it's not praying. Somebody getting what I'm saying? The Bible said Enoch, there's a guy called Enoch in the Bible, that Enoch walked with God. Eh? Enoch was not even at the level of talking about holiness, I'm not drinking, I'm not smoking. No, he said he walked with God so much that he disappeared. Can you even picture? Can you picture that realm? Hebrews 11. He said, by faith, Enoch was translated, he disappeared, that he should not see death, and was not found. They didn't see him, he disappeared, because God had what? Translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He walked with God so much. I'm wondering the kind of friendship they would have had. They would have been talking all day, gisting all day, and he got so tired of the natural realm that God said, "Short, come and hang out here. You're the kind of guy I like to talk to." And he disappeared. At that level, we can't be worrying about smoking and lust and sin. He has worked with God. So your focus is not even to stop sinning. Your focus is to start praying and start fellowshipping with God. Those things we're going to. Let me move quickly. All right. So, single ladies, single guys, same thing applies to you. Don't marry someone that is not on the same spiritual wavelength as you. People do that all the time. Why are marriages failing? Very simple. Two carnal Christians. I'm talking about Christian marriage. They're facing as much struggle as unbelievers. You know why? Because the people getting married are just like unbelievers. They are just like unbelievers. They are not like Christians. They are not Christians. They're just churchgoers. Remember I told you, many churchgoers. They have not been, nothing has changed. They have not, Christ have not really changed them. So somebody say, and the Bible makes it clear, don't be unequally yoked. They say it's an unequal yoke for a believer to marry an unbeliever. Say, what fellowship had light and darkness? What agreement has God as Satan? They are saying, look, if you are going to get married as a Christian, marry under Christian. Now, there are many people that are churchgoers that are not Christian, just look like Christians. How do I know somebody is really a Christian? This is in 2 Corinthians 6:14. How do I know somebody is a real Christian? Very simple. Number one, do they constantly want to know God? It's about the same spiritual goals we mentioned. Do they want to know God? Do you see a desire in them to want to know God more? Do you drag them to church? If you are dragging them to church, they don't want to know God. But if you see them on their own, they want to know God. They are constantly trying to study the Bible. They are constantly trying to pray. Constantly trying to come to church, know God for themselves. There must be that appetite there. All right? Number two. Do they want to please God? Do you see a desire in them to want to please God? You must see that. Not somebody insisting you must have premarital sex and they are threatening you on it. And you are still praying. You are praying if you should marry him. Are you okay? It's obvious that pleasing God is not in the agenda. I'm not talking about people that fell into sin. I know that one happens. Oh, two good Christians, were doing things they shouldn't be doing. That's different from somebody telling you, look, you must fornicate with me. That one is a mad person. How will you manage him? Even after you marry, he will commit adultery the same way he's committing fornication. Like we say in this church, every fornicator is an adulterer in training. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Very important. So does he want to please God? Does he have a heart to please God? I mean, every time he makes decisions, are his decisions based on the ideology that what we please God? Or is it based on what do I want? That's how you know if he's a Christian. Does he want to know God? Does he want to please God? Number three, does he want to serve God? Does he want to serve God with his resources? Does he give? Does he tithe? Does he like to serve in church? Those are good things to know. Okay, let me move. How do I actually build my spiritual capacity? How do I actually build my spiritual capacity? Number one is by prayer. By prayer. Developing a consistent prayer life. Developing a consistent prayer life. Listen, there's no way you can grow spiritually. There's no way you can meet your spiritual goals of hearing God better, changing. All those things happen in the secret place with God. In your prayer place with God, all those things happen. He said, he that prays in secret, he said, he will get his reward in the open. Every time you spend time in devotion with God, and you know all these things they will teach you in the journey class, is starting this coming weekend. You can register today. In fact, if you love yourself, you have to register today. It starts on Saturday. The year is still fresh. Lay the right foundation. Everything you're looking for in this world is possible. If grandma can find love, what are you waiting for? It's here. It's possible. It's doable. It's doable. You can't convince me otherwise. I've seen that testimony is here, real. Secret place. A life of prayer. A life of prayer. Consistent, not once a blue moon. Consistent prayer life. A few minutes every day. And you keep growing. 30 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours of prayer. Worship. Alone with God. Not family devotion. Family devotion is great. But I mean, you must have your intimate time. You can't really know somebody except you spend a lot of time with them and you spend time with them alone. That's when people can open up. That's when things open up. If you're always in a hurry, you can't grow spiritually. So prayer. Let's look at Jude chapter 1 verse 20. Look at this. It said, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Say, it builds up your faith. It builds you up. So you must have a life of prayer. In the journey class, they'll break all these things down to you. How you should have a daily prayer, how you are going to organize it. We have a class, a discipleship class. You must. You can register today, because it starts on Saturday. And it's just 4 weeks. It's 4 Saturdays. It's going to help you build. The year is new. Spiritual goals first. Prayer life. Prayer life. That's where everything happens. God will tell you about your future. God will change you, will transform you. That's where you carry the fragrance of God. That's where your character starts to change. That's where God begins to show you things. You can't be asking me who you should marry if when you're talking to the Almighty God. If you're talking to the Almighty God, why do you want to talk to me? He has wisdom that can help you. Somebody get what I'm saying? When you know him like that, you don't have to chase men around because you have access to the most wise being. They say he's the all-wise God. He knows everything about everything. Can you imagine? There's no human being like that. There is no human being that knows everything about everything. Ah, in my research, you have seen people that are great in IT. They have bad marriage. one of the greatest CNN presenters, he has been divorced about 7 times. It means he knows nothing about marriage. He can't even be helped. Once can be a mistake. Second time can be a serious mistake. If you have been divorced for 6, 7 times, my brother, you are clueless nationally. That's how it is. I've not seen anybody that knows everything about everything. Some are good in sports. They are not good academically. Some are good academically. They are not strong physically. There's no human being. But they say God is the all-wise God. And you have access to him. What is Google where God is? Is there anything like Google the school to go to? Is there anything like that? Can Google give you divine direction? Can Google show you your wife? Google is great, but not like our God. God can tell you what concerns you personally. There are things you ask Google, he will run. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? God can show you about your own future. But no time. Prayer. Number two, studying the word. Having a plan. All right? This year we're going to come out with devotionals for the church. But while we're doing that, go to YouVersion. There are many good devotionals there. Make sure it's a good one and a godly one. Get it. Have a study plan every day. Put some scriptures inside you. Get to keep knowing the word. The Bible said in 1 Peter, it said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word of God that you may grow. So you need to desire it. Desire is the key word there. Desire. So you must have an appetite for the word. See, doctors will tell you a lack of appetite is a symptom of sickness. Anytime you lack appetite for God's word, as in church is going on, you are comfortable at home. Church is going on, you are comfortable to watch movies. If your appetite is gone for the word, you are spiritually sick. Everybody knows that. A lack of appetite is one of the symptoms that you are sick. He says, as newborn babes, desire the milk of the word because it helps you grow. So have a consistent, apart from attending church, have a consistent study plan that you use to study the word and grow. And grow. There are many materials online now, many messages. Some of you don't even watch my YouTube channel. I have loads of messages, different things. You know, load it. Grow yourself. See. When it comes to spiritual growth, beyond what they give you, you must desire, you must pursue messages in line with what you are dealing with at the time. So that if you know you are dealing with character issues, you need to get messages along the line. If you know you are dealing with financial issues, you need to get messages along the line. You are dealing with relational issues, you need to get messages along those lines. Beyond what they're teaching you. In church, sometimes we're teaching a different direction from what is going on in your own life. You know what the difference? You are supposed to be able to go and search other materials that are relevant to your own case.
Don't wait till church is teaching you. There's no way. We have thousands of people here. There's no time we're going to teach everything that will concern everybody at the same time. Some things I'm teaching now, Sapu is 1 year after to concern them. Every time I teach a marriage, Sapu does say, I don't want to marry, just concern me. A year time will come. They will need to go and buy those messages. The word. So, the word has to do with both hearing the word and doing the word. So, it's not just hearing. Say, don't be hearers alone, deceiving your own self. No. Say, be doers. That's the relationship you need with the word of God. Say, be not hearers alone, James chapter 1. Say, be not hearers alone, but doers. Say, we should not be hearers alone of the word, but what? Doers. So, those twofold relationship. James 1:22. But be ye what? Doers of the word of God, and not what? Hearers alone. So it's good to hear, but you can't be hearers alone. Say, you are deceiving yourself when you do that. So as you hear the word, you must start applying. Start doing the things that you hear. Anything you hear from the Bible, start looking for how to act it, how to apply it physically to your own life. Applying the word. Then the last thing. So this is just the foundation. On the midweek service, we'll go deeper into it. You don't want to miss midweek service. In fact, that's even part of the last point for spiritual achieving your spiritual goals. Number one is prayer. Number two is the study of the word of God. Number three is fellowshipping with other believers. Fellowshipping with other believers. You can't grow without that. You can't grow without the word of God. You can't grow without a life of prayer. You can't also grow without fellowshipping with other believers. Or else everything you are learning will be theory. Hebrews says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some people are. Some of you here is you. That the manner of, that's your name. you come when you like, once a month. The manner of some are, say, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Leave that scripture here a bit. What they're saying is this. Fellowshipping with other Christians is a major part of your meeting your spiritual goals. Why? Number one, by fellowship with other Christians can impact you on your journey. Because you are not everywhere you are, people have been there already. People have been at a stage where they struggle with their prayer life. If you're amongst other Christians, people will share. It's like being in school. And you know you don't understand something, or you will see you will always meet somebody in your class that understands it. If you're in fellowship with them, they will always show you that, oh, this thing is hard. Oh, me too, I had a problem with this thing. Oh, I was stuck in this exact place, but this is what I did. Having people, those of you know I'm a car enthusiast. In every car or motorcycle we buy, one of the first things they tell us to do is to go and join forums. They have forums on the internet where people that own that exact model of cars are all over the world. So once you join that forum, there is no problem you want to face in your own that somebody in that forum has not faced and most likely has already tackled. So once you write, oh, I'm having issue with my wiper, you will just see comments, oh, yes, it's normal with this brand, it's normal with this move, it's normal with another, this is what to do, go and buy this thing, go and do it, oh, make sure you don't work. You will see advice that will cover. So that's exactly the same way it works spiritually. No matter how, this is your new Christian life or your old Christian life, no matter which one you are, there are many people that have, every junction you are facing, or you are going to pass. Many people have passed it. If you are in the midst of other believers, they will tell you, oh, this is how to circumvent this. You are being pressured to marry by your parents. This is what to do. I have a friend that actually did it. Oh, this is how he worked out. Oh, don't do it. Oh, you will see enough example to make your head correct. So, the first benefit of fellowship with other Christians is that you get the wealth of experience, wealth of advice, wealth of encouragement. When you are tired, you are not the only one that gets tired. All of us get, there are days I don't feel like a Christian. I don't feel like a born-again Christian as a pastor. All of us get tired. There are times we get disillusioned. There are times we're never sure where we're going again. There are times we don't feel like praying. There are times we don't feel like studying the Bible. But when you have other Christians around you, they encourage you. Look at what, that's what they said there. They said, as we are seeing the day approaching, you know, let's be exhorting one another. Let's be encouraging one another. Because this journey, if you're not careful, you can start and not finish. There are many that start and don't finish. There are many that start and they fall by the wayside. So, going together. So, being among believers gives you encouragement for other believers. Second benefit of fellowship with Christians. Okay, let me say the way I said it here. I say you grow. That's first point, is you grow by receiving from other Christians. Second line is, you also grow by giving to other Christians. Let me tell you guys one secret now quickly. Yeah? One of the things that have helped me grow spiritually the most is being a pastor. I have to grow to bless you. I get what I'm saying. Once you are put in a position where you have to minister to people, you will have no choice but to grow. As human beings, we are challenged into being better when we need to be better. Somebody gets what I'm saying? You will grow. If you are the one sharing in your fellowship, you will read the Bible now. You will read that. If you are the one leading prayer, you will learn prayer points. You say, I don't know how to pray. You are leading on Sunday. HODs. From be sharing prayer in department. Not every day the HOD lead prayer. No, assign the newest convert. You are leading prayer. You will see that he will go and import prayer requests. That's how you grow. So number one, you grow by receiving from other Christians. Number two, you also grow by giving. Once you belong to a body of believers, it gives you a chance to start using your own gifts. Because everybody has spiritual gifts. Everybody has graces on their life. Once you are in that group, there's a demand for you to use it. When you belong to small groups, like this year, we're starting connect groups again. You must join one. That's where you can start. Everybody can preach on these pulpits. Everybody can preach here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm still here for a long time. And there are many other assistant pastors. Before you get to your turn, it's far. Even when I'm not around, I still preach by video. Okay? So it's going to be long. But there's a smaller group. You can belong to either your department, connect group, you know, things like that. You're in membership class, you're whatever. And you start giving. That's how you grow. So you grow by learning, by receiving. You also grow by giving. And lastly, you grow by accountability. Belonging to a group gives you accountability like nothing else will. Belonging to a church, to a connect group, to a department. You notice that sometimes, you see, just because somebody's going to ask you why were you not in church, we make you know that you shouldn't sit at home. If nobody will notice when you're not in church, it's easy for you to sit at home. If nobody's going to notice when you're not in department, it's easy for you to sit at home. But when you belong to a small group, to a department, to a connect group, to a church, somebody's going to ask you. Those of you that are in church, nowadays people are too much, but those days, even now I still try. One I notice you're not in church for one Sunday, so you see my chat. That where have you been? Hallelujah. There are many people here like that have checked on you like that. It helps you just know that, and in case something's even happening to you at that time, that accountability of under Christian will help you. They will reach out to you, they will help you. So, under fellowshipping with other Christians, you grow by receiving, you grow by giving, you grow by accountability. Somebody checking on you and said, have you read your Bible today? Have you prayed today? Are you going to be in church today? That accountability helps you. And in closing, let me say this, guys. We're starting the journey. It's our believers class. It's our like our discipleship class, where you learn about deeper things in the things of God, and you can ask questions. It's usually a smaller class. You can ask questions. If you have not registered, register today and start. Take the steps. Take the steps to meet your spiritual goals. You have to take the steps. Nobody can do it for you. You have to go by yourself. So stand up. And when we close today, go and register. Starting on Saturday. Register today. And start the class. Start the class. Those of you that have registered, that you've done the past ones, make sure you have registered to continue. Because it's up to 100 to 400 or 500 level. So you did last year 100 level. You are supposed to be in 200 level now. Or you did last year when 200 level. Finish it. Be a finisher. It helps you grow. And know God, man. The class is wonderful. It covers everything. Both spiritual growth, your life, marriage, leadership. Something everybody should invest in. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed this morning? Glory to God.